Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Here we are again with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
How many listeners have heard of leiomyosarcoma? Now, until recently, I'd never heard of it. So what is it? It's described as a type of rare cancer that grows in the smooth muscles. The smooth muscles are in the hollow organs of the body, including the intestines, stomach, bladder, and blood vessels. Our guest today is going to tell us his story of dealing with leiomyosarcoma, and joining us from the UK is Luke Goodwin. Luke, nice to have you, and you have a very interesting story. Tell us how this started for you. It was about a year ago when you were driving your wife, Becky, to work.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, I was just driving the normal morning. I got up with my wife, Becky, took the kids to nursery, and I said, I've got a bit of a sort of stitch in my right hand side. Didn't think anything of it. And by the time I'd got 10 minutes down the road or so to Becky's work, I said, you're going to have to ring me an ambulance because the pain was that bad. Anyway, so my mum arrived there and was like, running an ambulance. And they said, it's going to be sort of 8 hours before we can get to you. I was like, by this point, I thought, yeah, exactly. I thought to myself, I'm either having an heart attack or something big's going off. So I said to them, look, we'll have to drive down to the A&E, to the hospital. I went in there. There was about three or four blokes in front of me. Obviously could see how much pain I was in. They sort of ushered me across and was like, look, mate, you can go before me. So we get checked into the A&E. The leave us sat there for a good hour or so, maybe. So which then she takes me through to the back to assess what she thought this was. Not once did they look at my abdomen or my side. They just put me down on a chair, stuck a cannula in my hand, and left me to sit for about 2 hours before I was then moved to another room where I sat for probably maybe 2 hours or somewhere around there where I thought, fuck this, I've had enough. So I got up. Walked out of the hospital. I pulled the cannula out of my hand and said to my mum, look, I don't know what's going on. I feel a bit better because they'd filled me with some kind of pain relief. And I went to see the doctors the next day. Not the next day, within the next couple of days after. Basically, they put it down to kidney stones to start with after finding a speck of blood in my urine. So we took it as, okay, it makes sense. And a week or so, maybe 2 weeks went past. Nothing really changed or anything. I was just trying to pee what I thought was going to be a stone come out of somewhere. To which they did some more scans. Were like, look, we want to have a look further into this. So they did an ultrasound scan, and they found a 68 mil mass on my right side of my liver. So they instantly said, right, we need to get that biopsied. But while they was there, they also checked my lungs and saw shadows on them as well. So, yeah, they referred me for a CT scan or an MRI scan, one of the two. Got better pictures of these things, said, yeah, we can see on your liver, your lungs, and your lymph node. So after that, then they referred me for a biopsy of my liver. Not the nicest thing in the world. And that come back because, this leiomyosarcoma. As of that, I mean, whether you guys want to go through this, but this is where I started sort of, right, okay, we need to look at sort of remedies, because the wait for chemotherapy was about 8 or 9 weeks. I thought, with the doctor saying this is rare and hyper aggressive, I thought, what am I going to do? As anyone would. So that was pretty much the intro to this thing. And the cannabis side of it, I instantly got straight onto them pre-chemotherapy. So I don't know what, if it had done anything before that, but like I said, the original diagnosis was 68 mil.
Yeah, that's that's about 2.5 inches. That's a pretty fair size tumor on your liver. That must have been a hell of a shock for you, going from thinking you had kidney stones to this leiomyosarcoma with a big tumor on your liver.
Yeah, it took all of us by surprise. I mean, I've always been quite active and stuff, and when they told me it was this, it sort of everything fit into place. Like I was thinking, oh, I'm getting more tired, and the more that they said, obviously, this is what this cancer does. It'll drain you. You'll be out of breath. Blah blah blah. Everything was sort of fitting into place, and yeah, it did. It made sense, but at the same time, you know, being told that just blew my mind completely.
Look, what kind of prognosis did they give you when they delivered this news?
Well, they've been very vague with the whole thing. They've basically said in a roundabout way, it's incurable, in which some people look at it as terminal, a terminal diagnosis. But yeah, I got a letter from my doctor, which when I was pulling some funds out of whatever I was pulling out of. Yeah, and I got this letter come through, and the actual writing said, in your professional opinion, does the patient have less than 12 months to live? And it ticked, yeah. And that was the first point where it sort of really smacked me in the face of, like, you know, a professional doctor is saying, I've got 12 months now. So you say, yeah, that was...
What goes through your mind there, Luke, when you see the tick in that box? Because that would have got my attention.
It sure did that. I don't even really know how to put it into words. It was kind of like, I don't really know how to react to it. I thought, is this wrong? Am I missing things? Or, you know, it was just utter disbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. You've got a wife and two kids, don't you?
I have, yeah. I've got, a wife, which I married October last year. So not long ago, 26th of October last year. This was because of this whole thing that we sort of sped it up a little bit. But yeah, a wife and two kids.
Wow. Okay, did you undergo chemo at all?
Yes, I had chemotherapy. That was doxorubicin and dicarbazine, which I'm told is better known as the Red Devil. That stuff was absolutely brutal. It's I don't know whether you guys know about it, but it's two drugs. One's a very, very red color, and the other's like a clear liquid. And when they basically put the red, I don't know which one's what, the red stuff in, they'll put that in first, which I have three of these like syringe type things, then followed by what looks like a drip bag, which is obviously the other one in the drip. Mm-hmm. The first time I had the chemotherapy, I went to the toilet after for a week, and nobody told me that this stuff, when you pee, it comes out how it looks when it goes in. So I went to the toilet afterwards, and I just saw this stream of red. So I sort of went to the woman, oh, hey, what's going on here? What's this? Because they didn't tell me that, you know, it basically comes through like that. So that was a shock, followed by the after effects and side effects of this thing. Was I was mostly all right. It'd be like day six after I've had chemo to day 12 or 13. It would just absolutely knock me out. I've never had anything like that in my life.
Wow.
So, and, I mean,
How many sessions of chemo did you have?
Six cycles, so that's six sessions. It was wow. One cycle every 3 weeks. So you could say just short of 5 months, but six cycles.
And when did you start the cannabis?
That was straight away. As soon as I was delivered this shocking news, I said to a few of my mates, you know, has anybody got any sort of ideas how to battle this? I'm not ready to go yet. So I thought, you know, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be the loud mouth, not which is me. I messaged one of my mates, Chris, and Matt, which put me in contact with Andy. Now, Andy is my supplier. And throughout this, the very start, he's been by my side. So it's with the good results that we've had, it's brilliant because it's just everything that's happened. It seems to like it all just pull in. It like it's tied in. So this cannabis route, I believe, was mm-hmm. made for me to go down to show people, you know, this is what it's doing for me. You know what I'm saying?
And how much were you taking?
CBD, right? So CBD, I'd be taking it three times a day. Pipette wise, I think they're probably 5 mil pipettes. I was having two pipettes of CBD at breakfast, dinner, and tea. Also followed by, I had HHC plus CBN. I had one pipette of that with the CBD three times a day. And then the THC was mainly before bed. But now I'm doing that three times a day. So I'm basically doing three oils three times a day.
And when you started taking this oil, did you find that it helped you with your chemotherapy?
Yes. In fact, I've actually got pictures which back this story, because not a lot of people believe me, is that when I was going through chemo, and it really hit me, like I said, between day 6 and 12 or whatever, that when I did have these oils, it would specifically the THC or HHC would give me that boost that I needed mentally wise. More than anything, you know, it was really a big pick-me-up for my brain, as well as the physical side, which I ended up ripping out my bathroom with Becky, going through the second or third cycle of chemo, because I felt that good with CBD oils. That's what I felt like doing. So I've documented taking pictures of that. I mean, what other cancer patient does that?
So you're remodeling your bathroom.
The thing with it is that the whole CBD and cannabis route, I've ripped bathrooms out. I've even started my downstairs toilet. I've knocked a bloody wall out because I'm just like, why not? I bought a quad. It's some of the stuff that I'm trying to do just to get the point across to people that cannabis, some people look at it as a drug. And I'm like, no, this to me is medicine. This is what's going to stop me dying, because chemotherapy, if I kept going on with it, you know, or they put me on this break, if he now wants me to go back on it, that chemo would be the thing that kills me, in my opinion.
Yeah, because this, you know, your story started about a year ago, July or August of 2022. So, yeah. You know, you're if you were on the chemo, your 12 months would have been coming up.
Yeah, very close.
We've interviewed a lot of people who have taken chemotherapy in conjunction with cannabis, and they initially start on chemotherapy because, you know, when you're given a terminal diagnosis, you're scared as hell and you'll do anything to survive. When they've taken cannabis along with the chemo is, how do you say it, Corey, less harsh on the body than...
I would say that, you know, people who choose to do oil in conjunction with chemo, it's not just the it certainly lessens the intensity and severity of the side effects, mm-hmm. but it also helps with how effective the actual chemo is. Now, I don't know if you remember when we used to interview Dr. Dave Hepburn. He talked a couple of times about that, how people who do chemotherapy and do it in conjunction with oil, the results are far better by a country mile.
So that's you. Now, did you change your diet at all?
I have definitely changed my diet. I used to be really quite bad for the fizzy pops and, you know, really sugary drinks and stuff like that. Immediately, I've had to cut all of those straight out, you know, the high sugar content stuff, foods. Again, pre-diagnosis, I used to like the lager quite a lot. That is now completely gone. There's a lot of dietary changes that I'm making or have made. I think there's still a lot I need to do, like clean eating. I mean, my wife's constantly on about eat your broccoli, your greens, this and the other. And I agree with her. It's hard, but I am trying to change my diet too, yeah.
That's why she married you, Luke, to get you in shape.
Yeah, I think you're right. Eh?
Yeah, sugar and processed foods are the absolute worst things. That's what I say to cancer patients. Worst things you can put in your mouth, sugar and processed foods. You know, and then, I mean, you can tweak it from there, but those are the two major ones you don't want to be putting in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, Corey has a great line on sugar. It's the miracle grow for cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah.
Every time you ingest sugar, it's like pouring miracle grow on cancer cells. So almost all cancers are sugar burning. That's how they survive. So makes sense that's what would happen when you ingest sugar. So what do you think is the most important thing that you did diet-wise, Luke? What would you say are the important things to do?
The thing that I've done straight away, like I said, that was the fizzy pop, because, I mean, I've been looking on the back of tins and you look like pay 250 mil or whatever it is. They're like 12 grams of sugar or something. Bloody hell, this is 750 mil. So for me, the biggest or hardest one was the fizzy pop, because it's, I just used to live on it pretty much.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon for cancer patients to crave sugar. When I speak with cancer patients, they'll go, hey, yeah, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I was like craving all the sugar. And they're craving sugar because the cancer wants to grow. Interestingly enough, when people get on oil, often they find that craving will dissipate quite substantially.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, with you saying that, I can relate to that, because earlier this week, I was just sat here with Becky and Bert just watching telly, and I went, God, I really just want something really sweet. She went, oh, well, you're not having anything. So by the end of it, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have my oils and sort of lay it down. I had that within, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour. I was like, I don't want that anymore. So yeah, that, I can relate to that completely.
Yes, yeah.
Now, you take THC at night. How much do you take?
Well, I've got the new, I don't know what strength it is. Andrew sent me out some new THC. I used to do two big pipettes, which is probably about 7 or 8 mil every night. But now I've got the double strength stuff. I'm doing one of those, which I'm trying to work up to two, so it'd be effectively the same, but the double strength stuff. Yeah, I don't know what strength it is, but it's enough to knock out probably a small horse.
Do you take all of this orally?
Yes, all orally. I do have some oil, and has given me like a little shrind, which is made up for, is it the Borgund? I've got like a vaporizer. I can't remember what brand it is, to be honest with you, but you put your oil in, and it's like an oil vape, oil oven vape. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have that as well. As he did send out some THCA, which when I did have like little bits of it pain and, or whatever, that absolutely got rid of that pain within a few minutes. It was absolutely unreal.
Great.
How is the size of your liver tumor now?
The last size that I got was probably a few weeks ago, which was about 32 or 33 mil. So you'd be looking a good, 50% shrinkage?
Yeah.
45, 50. There was slight growth on my most recent one, but that's because obviously, I don't know if there's been changes or oils that I'm taking differently, dietary, you know, but I do believe that it's going to keep shrinking with these oils. And I've actually turned down the chemotherapy because they wanted me to go back on it with this. I've had 3 mil growth, which, you know, it's minimal, but growth's growth, isn't it? So they kind of wanted me to go back on it. And I said, no, I'm going to refuse your chemotherapy. I'm going to go down the route with Andy's oils or the cannabis route. Like, they obviously don't know this side of it, but this is what I'm going to do. So I just point blank refused the chemotherapy with it, which they weren't really too happy about, to be honest.
So you refuse chemotherapy and you haven't told them that you're taking cannabis?
Yeah, that's right. I've refused the chemotherapy. I basically said to them, I want to try some home remedies. I want to try different. I haven't told them exactly. I mean, they probably know. I mean, my face around here is pretty well known now, but it's you know, it's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, they must have been quite surprised or shocked when you refused chemo.
Yeah, because he sort of said to me, look, we want to put you back on chemo. It's going to be a different drug. It's something like three different drugs now. And instantly I said, look, I'm not interested. I've had massive growth with shrinkage, with other things that I want to try. So because the last time that the doctor gave me my results, it wasn't my actual oncologist. It was like a step in for him. He gave me the results of shrinkage, which whilst off chemo, I had 10 mil shrinkage on my liver, which obviously is 1 centimeter, which is massive, and something like 2 or 3 mil on my nodules on my lungs. That was off chemo. I was doing nothing else other than the oils, maybe an iron tablet here and there to sort of help out. And there's no other reason for it. So when people say, you know, there's no evidence cannabis works, I'm living proof it works. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Corey's living proof it works as well. She was given about less than 6 months, and that was 12 years ago almost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. How has this journey been for you mentally, Luke?
At the start, I imagine Corey can relate, it absolutely decimated everything. I mean, I don't think there's actual words for it. It was a very, very dark place. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still get me wobbly days. People see it on my YouTube and whatever, Instagram. But it's getting easier now, and I found it far easier. The more that I stepped up the levels of my oils, it certainly helped with my mental state. Yeah.
Yeah. How is your wife been through all of this?
She's, again, for anyone that probably understands this kind of stuff, it ripped her apart. It's very hard on everyone, isn't it? Of course. I mean, even the kids, although they don't know, me and Becky between us are trying to sort of keep it on the side, you know. So it's, but yeah, it's been ridiculously hard on her, even her family, my family, all everyone.
Are they supportive of your decision to do only cannabis?
Absolutely, yeah. When I first was sort of looking at doing this, I was a bit apprehensive myself. But I thought, what have I got to lose? I mean, if I don't do it, I've got one option, which would be chemo. And then if I look at that, it's probably going to ruin me anyway. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try this, which I did. And Becky and my whole family and network that are with me have been ridiculously supportive. With anything, if I need to drive somewhere, if I've had some oils, that there'll be help everywhere. Honestly, it's just amazing. Yeah, so it's, yeah, brilliant.
Luke, do you do any supplements as well as in there with your diet?
No, not really. And the only thing that I've really sort of had supplement wise is iron. And I say, if you want to look at it as a supplement, this fenbenzadol. I use that as well.
Yes.
But other than that, no, they're the only real sort of things that I use.
And were you? Did you lose any weight during this period?
Yeah, going through the chemo, this is another factor, is going through sort of, I think it might have been the one of the last treatments that I had. I was always a steady sort of 10 stone 3. And on one of these last sessions, I got such bad mouth ulcers and sores that I couldn't actually physically properly eat. And when I did, I'd have to like numb my face with some of this green liquid stuff I had. And I ended up losing just over, well, more than 2 stone, because I'm 8 stone 2 now, I think. So yeah, I've cooked a lot of weight.
Yeah, I've seen videos of you, and you're a thin guy.
Yeah,
no, it's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that. But I saw a video of you doing push-ups.
Oh yeah, I've tried to sort of with this kind of journey. I've tried to sort of put a spin on it, because I'm all about mental health and bringing people up. I mean, obviously with the cannabis. So yeah, I thought, what of a better way to sort of capture people's minds and get them interested than seeing a stage 4 terminal cancer patient, or whatever you want to call me, doing press ups and being an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot doing push ups. Now, have you had any conversations with anyone else who has had leiomyosarcoma?
I am in a group on Facebook that's dedicated for this cancer, but not, I don't overly speak to them too much, because they're doing their own thing. They've got their own like little forum. But since being in like papers locally, people have managed to find me or whatever and message me on different platforms. And yeah, I've had a lot of chats. I mean, there's so much more cancer coming out of the woodwork now, more than ever. And personally, I kind of believe that this is down to one of the COVID jabs, if I'm honest with you. But yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. When you talk to other patients and you tell them that you're taking cannabis, are they somewhat reluctant to follow your path?
No, not really. It's quite surprising, because I would have thought, that way, asking that question. So yeah. The people that come to me, the kind of like the fuller questions, they just want to know, you know, how's whether it's for them or a specific person. Recently, I'll talk about it was his dad, and he's got the same oils from Andy, and he messaged me either today or yesterday, I can't remember, saying that do you get like really colourful and bright dreams? I said I did do at the start, you know, when your body's adapted to THC and I know all the other bits and bobs. But he said, oh, well, my dad's, he's had it, and it was just checking that everything's all right. I said, you know, I'm not a doctor by any means, but that's pretty normal, mate. And as long as he's feeling good, let him keep doing it. Because, you know, in a cancerous mindset, you're going to be feeling pretty low, aren't you? So if anything's going to take it off and make you feel good, perfect.
Yeah. You know, Luke, I think the path that you're on is a good one. And I think your last name indicates to me that you're going to be successful because your last name is Goodwin. So this is going to be a good win for you.
Absolutely. That's the
staying
one.
Staying alive, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think the Bee Gees wrote a song about staying alive. Was it
I love that song.
Yeah, so it was all meant to be. It was a good win.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. Yeah.
So never forget that. Is it tough for you to be optimistic on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. Yeah and no, actually. I mean, there's days where I wake up and I am like, oh, do you know what? I just can't be bothered today. It's one of them days. And, you know, sure enough, as soon as I've popped some oils or had me morning oils, breakfast or whatever, you give it that time for it to kick in. And it's like, I'm a different person. It's like that quick. Yeah, of course, it affects me just like it would anyone else listening or watching the story or whatever. Yeah, it's not easy, but you know, you've just got to keep that fire burning inside you. It's a mental game. It really is a mental game. But obviously, you've got at the side of that, you've got to have something that's giving it that kind of that physical kick up the backside.
Yeah.
And I suspect that the next time you go in for a scan, which may be 6 months from now, a year from now, that your tumors, if not gone, will be significantly reduced.
Absolutely.
And that will give you more reason to be optimistic about your future with your wife and your family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Everything I don't know whether you've seen some of the videos, but I say like, this has happened to me for a reason because I don't see it as like a bad thing. Yeah. When I'm feeling a bit rubbish, I'm like, I don't really like this, but because I'm sort of going round and I'm speaking to these people and it's making me feel good because I'm making them feel good as well as, you know, speaking to people like yourselves about cannabis and stuff like this. It's getting that out there. And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. A lot of people say that cancer was the best thing that ever happened to them. And for those of us who have not been in that circumstance, Corey, would you say that cancer was one of the best things to happen to you? Or no?
I don't know if I'd use the word best, but it certainly changed my life. The trajectory of my life. And I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it hadn't happened. So, I mean, I think this was meant to be. I'll go that far with it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cannabis was the best thing to ever happen to you.
It was for me.
Yeah. I'll go with that. Yeah. But I can see where that comes from, yes, because it changes you. It totally changes you and the trajectory of your life. It does.
Yeah, significantly as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke, it was a pleasure to talk to you. And this is going to be a good win for you. Just remember that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Ian. Good win. Absolutely.
Great. Great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luke, so much.
Before we go, I want to let our listeners know that you can help us spread the word about the amazing, often life-saving health benefits of cannabis just by sharing the podcast, writing a review, or rating us. We very much appreciate the help of everyone who's done that already, and we really like the 5-star ratings. We'd also like to thank those of you who support the show by making a one-time donation or a monthly donation on our Patreon page, which you can do for as little as $5 a month. That helps to keep us running. You'll find out how to do that on our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Thank you for your support. It means so much to us. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, I'm Gary, and I invite you to discover the Cannabis Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast focused on a Canadian's cannabis culture. I would be the Canadian, and my cannabis passion and culture has been building for 5 decades. I share that passion for this wonderful plant in every episode, through conversations with cannabis advocates and enthusiasts, stories about the ever-changing legal environment, and some hands-on testing of product in a segment I call Cultivar Corner. The Cannabis Podcast, a Canadian's cannabis culture, one toke at a time.